Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Up in about 60 seconds, one of the best running backs available in the upcoming NFL draft and a national champion joins us right here on ESPN Radio with Aaron Goldhammer. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We are presented in part by Progressive Insurance. Alabama Lee is just getting dismantled by Florida. I mean, they left their game in back in Tuscaloosa. Gators lead the 16th ranked Crimson Tide 90-72. 4:15 to go in that game down in Gainesville. Purdue and Illinois just went final. The third-ranked Boilermakers come from behind, down 6 at the half, and outscore Illinois by 12 in the second half. They win 77-71 in North Carolina. I mean, Notre Dame, they're just in disarray right now. Carolina just absolutely just destroyed them, 84-51. That's some of your college basketball updates. San Diego State ranked 21st in the country, just a slight favorite at UNLV. That is an 11 Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific time tip. All right, joining us right now is one of the best running backs in the upcoming NFL draft, as I mentioned. And by all accounts, he had a heck of a combine. Blake Corum, offensive MVP from the national championship game for the Michigan Wolverines, returns here to ESPN Radio. And, Blake, we greatly appreciate your time, country, as always. What was the experience like for you in Indy? Because everywhere you've got a lot of people talking right now.
Nah, thanks for having me once again. And, you know, talking about my combine experience, it was amazing, man. You know, that's something you dream about, you know, as a kid. And, you know, going into it, you know, I didn't start training until February, you know, training for the combine. And so it was the night before I was talking to my agents, talking to my trainer, and I was going to run at Pro Day. And, you know, I sat back and, you know, I'm like, man, F it, man. I'm running tomorrow, you know. So, but it was a great experience, you know, meeting with different teams. Definitely, you know, early morning, long nights, but it was all worth it, man. It was great. Man,
all right, so the whole I refer to the combine as the underwear Olympics. If you want to know about a guy, turn the tape on. Watch you before your ACL injury and then even after your ACL. And you look at you in the second half of the season, and I'm starting to see some of that burst coming back again that we saw the previous year. So, but what made you decide, you know what, heck with it, man. I'm doing every drill they want me to. What made you finally – was it the competitive nature in your DNA? What was it?
That's what it comes down to, the competitive nature. I want to be out there with the rest of the running back, you know, and showing what I can do, you know, whether that been, you know, running the 40 or, you know, all the drills, trying to look as crisp as I could and just competing, showing these scouts, getting them to drool a little bit, showing them what I'm capable of, you know, because, I mean, you know, everyone knows it took me a couple games to get back into that mode. But like you said, towards the end of the season, I was on fire. I was the same BC. And so actually having an off season now, actually being able to train down here in Florida, man, oh, man, I feel great.
that tone of voice, folks, I have heard it for 3 years. And when you start hearing that tone, watch out. If there's one message, before we get to your journey, if there's one message for any GM right now, any coach listening, any scout, how would you sum up the person and the player that is Blake Corum?
You know, the person and the player, I consider myself a complete package. You know, on and off the field, that's what I mean. You know, so, you know, GMs and to the head coaches and the scouts, you're getting a player that's going to bring it each and every day. You know, someone that competes with himself, you know, try to outdo myself each and every day. Someone that's going to push his teammates and someone that just wants to win and doesn't care how they get there. You know, that's all that matters at Michigan. That's all that's going to matter at the next level. And a lot of people, they get to the next level and they think they made it. I don't. You know, I'm gonna go harder than ever. I'm going to make sure I push my teammates. And then outside of that, you know, I'm going to take care of my community wherever I go. I did it in Michigan. I'm not stopping now. That's what I believe my purpose is. And so I'm going to make sure I'm going to take care of the community and make sure the organization looks good.
Blake Corum, outstanding running back, the offensive MVP of a national championship. He's one of the best players in college football, one of the best running backs available in the draft, joining us here on ESPN Radio. You mentioned community. What does that mean to you?
It means everything to me. You know, it doesn't matter if you grew up in that certain area. It doesn't matter. Community can be anywhere, and it means everything to me. You know, so while I was in Michigan, I was trying to make sure I brought that community closer and closer together by doing the things that I did. And I'm going to make sure that continues on in Ypsilanti and in Michigan. But whatever state, city I go to next, you know, I want to be a part of the community. I want to reach out, you know, bring the community closer. I want to get to know everyone. I want to, you know, laugh and giggle with everything outside of football. You know, football is very important to me, but also the community is as well. So making sure, you know, I get out, meet new people, and just try to help as much as I can. You know, community is everything.
Blake, take us into that community that is the a college or pro locker room. Heck, where you come from, high school locker room. You have so many different walks of life. And the reason I'm bringing this up is Jason Kelce, you know, a future Hall of Fame center, just retired for the Philadelphia Eagles, brought up the every walk of life where you may be lining up next to a guy whose dad was a millionaire on one side and a guy who was living on welfare on the other side of you. And one guy may be from Louisiana, the other guy may be from Nova Scotia. I mean, you have no idea in this day and age, but that's the beauty of an NFL locker room. If you can, to take us in there and what that community means also.
You know, that's if you want a winning team and you want to be a winning organization, whether that be, you know, at the college level or the NFL level, you have to make sure the locker room's missing right. And so my first year at Michigan, it wasn't. And we had to take it upon ourselves, you know, Aiden, Josh Frost, you know, myself, some others, in changing the locker room culture, right? You can't have cliques. You know, you have to be there for everyone. You know, you have to be there. Everyone's your brother is what I'm trying to say. And so, you know, the locker room, that's what creates winning teams. That's what creates a great organization. And that's how you're going to succeed. And so at each level, college or high school, college, you know, NFL, you're going to have people from different, you know, aspects of life. But as long as, you know, you look to the right and your left, and you know, you have your brother's back, you're going to be a successful team. And so the locker room is a huge role in the game that we play.
What did that mean to you, especially with Aiden Hutchinson, obviously now, you know, Pro Bowl edge rusher for the Detroit Lions, who went to the NFC Championship game. What was that like when you felt the change in that locker room that you were a part of making, along with Hutch and others and J.J. McCarthy and so many other leaders in at Michigan locker room, but you were a part of that core? When did you start to feel that it finally shifted and you knew you had something special?
That offseason when we changed, you know, say the culture at Michigan, you could just, it changed automatically, you know, and it started, you know, in the weight room, you know.
It always does, Bubba.
It started in the weight room. Everyone was starting to have fun. Everyone, you know, people were glad to be at the lifts. You know, they weren't walking in like, dang, I have to be here. No, but everyone was glad. And then you started to sit back and like, dang, we have something special right here. You know, and then you go into camp. Everyone's happy to be in camp. You know, long days, but it doesn't matter. You know, you're there with your friends, your brothers, and you're getting ready for a good season. You know, so it started there. And then you get into the season and we started performing. It's like, wow. And then you just go back and it was the locker room. You know, it was the small things, but it was really the locker room at the end of the day. And it's like, wow, you know, we came together as brothers and this is what we did.
Blake Corum, if your NFL team gets this running back, I promise you, you're going to be happy. The outstanding offensive MVP for the National Championship Michigan Wolverines joining us here on ESPN Radio, getting you ready for the upcoming NFL draft and looking back on his combine experience. And having said that, I just mentioned the natty, confetti falling on your head. You were one of our post-game interviews. And by the way, my spine still hurts from that hug you gave me, too. I'm not kidding you, man. I knew you were strong, dude, but good gosh, man, that power lift you gave me was not nice, even though it was well-intended. How much does that fuel your fire, having tasted that glory, confetti falling on your head, not in a bad way, right, and you hoist that trophy? Yeah. How much does that drive you going into the next level to want to hoist that Lombardi?
Man, I want a Super Bowl so bad. And I'm going to do whatever I can to whatever organization I go to make sure, you know, we bring, you know, the Lombardi home. But, you know, you got it one step at a time. Obviously, we can think about the Super Bowl, and the team that I go to, they might be close to a Super Bowl already. You know, maybe I could be the missing piece, but, you know, I'm going into it. You know, I'm just going to go and compete right away and make sure I'm a good teammate and do whatever I can to improve the team, make sure, you know, I get on the field early. And obviously, just bring that winning mindset that, you know, we can't be stopped. But obviously, you know, that's on my list right now. I won a national championship. I won championships in high school. I won championships in youth ball. Man, I need a Super Bowl, you know, and I'm not going to stop until I get it.
Blake Corum, running back Michigan, joining us here on ESPN Radio. How much does it drive you even further? As we've gotten to know you over the last 3 years, I know the answer to this question, but for anybody listening, how much does it just drive you to do that extra lift or add a little more film study, whatever it might be, go run that extra mile, hearing that you are anywhere from a late second to fourth round draft pick, when a lot of people 2 years ago before the ACL had a first round grade on you?
You know, it motivates me, but I really never needed motivation, you know, throughout my whole life. I feel like I've always been, you know, a little doubted, and I've always proved everyone wrong. But, you know, I let, you know, my resume speak for itself. I let what everyone else has to say, you know, who's been around me, speak for itself. So I know whatever team, you know, wants to take a, you know, shot on me and thinks I'm a good fit for them, that's what God wants me to be. You know, so me going into this draft, you know, I'm kind of going into it like, hey, whatever God wants me to be, I'm going to be, whether it be second round, you know, third round, fourth, fifth, sixth, undrafted. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I know I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity that I get, and I'm definitely going to be a game changer. And so, you know, I'm just excited. You know, I'm excited. I'm blessed to be in this situation, and I'm just enjoying it.
All right, let me ask you about some of your guys. One of my favorite videos from the Combine was you in the hotel hallway throwing 30-yard bullets with your quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. One, whose idea was it? And two, what was that like? Just in the hotel lobby at the Combine, you got number 9 over here throwing bullets across the hall from one bathroom to the elevator shaft, right to you in that hallway. I mean, whose idea was it, and how'd it come about?
So JJ came up to me earlier that day. He was like, yeah, you want to catch some balls? I was like, yeah, just let me know when. And so we were going to the Noble Station where they had the turf, and it was just too crowded in there. So we're like, you know what, let's just go upstairs. And so we just started slinging it around, you know. He was going through his steps and different types of routes. And then I guess someone started recording it. But, you know, we're just trying to get ready for the field work, you know, in the upcoming days. I had to stay sharp.
And you did, and it was hilarious. And so any team that gets your quarterback, right, what are they getting in J.J. McCarthy?
Well, I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. You know, you're getting a leader. You're getting someone that, man, has a super high ceiling at the quarterback position, someone that loves winning, someone that is unselfish, someone that's going to, you know, take over a team, someone that can throw the ball deep, you know, check downs, roll out the pocket, run, someone that has a really high IQ for the game, just a great overall player and a great human being. So, you know, I see him, I see his stock continue to rise, and, you know, but there's still doubters out there that doesn't think, you know, he might be the best quarterback or have some, you know, ifs about him. But, man, he's a great quarterback, and I'm excited to see where he goes. And I know the team that gets him is going to be super happy.
What would it be like for you if you're reunited with Jim Harbaugh if all of a sudden you hear your name called by the Los Angeles Chargers?
Oh, man, that would be great. You know, it was a joy playing for Coach Harbaugh, you know, my last 4 years. Just a player's coach, someone that loves winning. You know, doesn't care how you win, but just loves the game, loves winning, loves taking care of his players. It was great playing for him for 4 years. So if I could play with him the rest of my life, you know, that'd be great. I expect big things from Coach Harbaugh upon the next couple of years. And it's not going to take long to, you know, change the Chargers around and make that a great culture. And they're going to be winning really, really soon and probably get a Super Bowl.
Hey, man, well, I'll tell you this much. Whoever gets Blake Corum, folks, they're getting a remarkable leader, a heck of a person, and a better player. And that's saying something, because a person is beyond special. And I, look, we're on the call for NFL games. If you're my post-game interview, BC, do me a favor. No need to do the bear hug, man. I mean, seriously, you're good. That's okay. I promise you.
Right? All right. I'll make sure the bear hug you.
You're the best, brother. Stay in touch. We'll see you at the draft. Thank you so much for your time here on ESPN Radio, just describing your journey.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Always, always, BC. Blake Corum, one of our favorites, joining us here on ESPN Radio. It's almost final in Gainesville, 2:16 to go. The Gators lead Alabama. 16th-ranked Crimson Tide just got humbled tonight by the Gators. 99-80, 2:16 to go. That bad boy is done. Coming up next, would you pay Saquon Barkley or roll with a rookie here on ESPN Radio?
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! Perfect. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Running back Saquon Barkley is set to hit the open market next week. The Giants are not placing the franchise tag on him.
How would Saquon look in Dallas? How would Saquon look in Philadelphia? How would Saquon look somewhere in the NFC East?
I know everyone's going to float Dallas. Why would you want to go play in that mess after playing in the New York mess? You don't want any part of it. Baltimore's the place to go.
I'm rocking with Houston being able to sign Saquon because I think he would be instant value to that football team.
I'm not paying him a lot of money. 6-year vet. The average lifespan for a running back in the National Football League is less than 3 years. Saquon Barkley right now is on year 6. With Aaron Goldhammer in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Presented in part by Progressive Insurance. So, Aaron, you heard all that from Harry Douglas and Joe Fortenbaugh and others. When it comes to the future of Saquon Barkley, who was not tagged and is going to be leaving the New York Giants, how much would you pay him if you wanted him on your football team?
Boy, I think double-digit millions of dollars a year, I'd be really hesitant to do it. I just think it's the most replaceable position in all of sports. This isn't an affront to how good a player Saquon is. I think he's a borderline top five back at his, you know, in his time. But I don't know that he's as good as Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry. Josh Jacobs is also available on the open market. I don't know that there is a defensive coordinator where if you add Saquon Barkley to the offense, and Ian, you might have a better feel for this than me, is all of a sudden like, uh-oh, you know, we're going to have to spend hours more time preparing for this team. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I just am saying that I think he plays a very replaceable position, and I think it's dangerous to tie up salary cap money in 27, 28-year-old running backs.
I could not agree more. Like Derrick Henry, I would give – and look, full disclaimer, you know, I went to Alabama. I know King Henry. I mean, not well, but well enough that he still has juice at 30, which is so rare. He is one of the – those rare aliens. He's like a cyborg that at 30, he's still going for nearly 1,200 yards, averaging over 4 yards a carry and 12 touchdowns behind an okay offensive line because he spends so much money taking care of his body.
Yeah,
I would still give him a 2-year deal, you know, $12 to $14 million. Saquon's a 2-year deal, $14 to $16 million. Now, I'm not going big money here. Why? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And I've said it for damn near a decade, and I feel badly every time I say it, especially when we just talked to a great friend of ours who's become a friend over the last 3 years, and Blake Corum, you know, running back out of Michigan, who is going to be a steal in the third round. Uh-huh. If he's there in the third round, and the Chargers are on the clock, just go ahead and walk the pickup. I mean, it's over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's done. But my point is about guys like Corum. Look at Isaiah Pacheco, right, from the Kansas City Chiefs, a seventh-round pick, you know, out of Rutgers. You can find running backs. You can.
Oh, yeah.
Am I going to pay Trey Benson out of Florida State or Bucky Irving out of Oregon or the guy we just talked to in Blake Corum out of Michigan or Jace McClellan out of Alabama? Or am I going to, you know, on a rookie contract, or am I going to pay Saquon? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going Benson. I'm going Bucky. I'm going Corum. Every time. Every single time.
The other thing here that I think I hear you saying. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson had great rookie seasons. They were first-round picks last year, and it was a surprise that you had two running backs go in the top 12. I think that surprised a lot of people.
They have rare talents.
Well, then you start scrolling down the running backs, like Devon Achan, for example, was an impact player as a rookie. Like, there was a game in which his team scored 70 points where he was all over the field.
Yeah, and he changed the pronunciation of his last name. It was like he was Achan at A&M. Now it's Achan? I mean, wait, what are we doing here? Come on.
Achan.
Right, yeah.
Keaton Mitchell, I think, was like the eighth or ninth running back off the board. And there now, before he got hurt, but there were a few weeks during the season where he was making impact plays as a fifth-round pick. Like, these, it's the easiest position to come in and play. It's an easy position to trade for a guy if you need one. You know, I'm in Cleveland. I do a show about the Browns every day, right? The Browns lost Nick Chubb in week two. It was a devastating injury. They went on to win 11 games and go to the playoffs. They picked Kareem Hunt up off the street in September, who led the team in rushing touchdowns. Like, this isn't a comment on how talented Saquon Barkley is or how thick his quads are, because he's incredible. But he just happens to play a position where you can find guys everywhere that can do it almost as well as he does it.
And having said all of that, would I want Saquon Barkley on my team? Absolutely. I for instance, you heard Fortinball mention the Dallas Cowboys, right? Uh-huh. You know, and basically said, you know, no, I don't want to go to that mess of a situation. Well, that mess is a team that has won 12 regular season games for three straight years.
Yeah.
Problem is, their regular season games, their postseason debacles are legendary, especially the last one. That was the worst performance we've ever seen from a Cowboy team in a playoff game.
I think for them.
Can a Saquon help that team? Yeah, sure.
I think more than Saquon, Derrick Henry makes sense to me more in Dallas, because I think they need somebody to set the physical tone of their team in a little
Jettison
bit of a
Pollard.
Different way. Yeah.
Jettison Pollard, you sign Henry if the money's right, and then you go get one of the running backs that we're talking about.
Right. And it's irresponsible. It's irresponsible of me to say this. I'm going to say it anyway. I don't have any sources. I'm not Adam Schefter. Some guy tweeted at me earlier today and said that his wife is a realtor in Dallas and that Derrick Henry is looking for houses in Dallas. I'm telling you what's on my Twitter timeline. Fans with sources, sometimes they're right and they know what they're talking about. Sometimes they don't. But to me, Henry makes more sense than Saquon in Dallas anyway.
Next thing you know, coming up, Aaron Goldhammer will be tracking Jets for coaching searches. Coming up right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Again, that's Aaron Goldhammer in for Amber Wilson, tracking real estate agents and Jets.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tunes Tuesday on Amber and Ian.
As always, I fail to pay attention to Tunes Tuesday, where our associate producer, Rachel Robinson, has a theme every time she is on the boards and the ones and twos. With James Steele, our producer, Aaron Goldhammer in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We can't thank you enough for spending part of your time with us. So before we get to big deal or not a big deal, where we go through some top store other stories in sports and sometimes entertainment, Rachel has her rundown for Tunes Tuesday. There's a theme every time. See if you can guess it along with us. Rachel, the floor is yours.
All right. I got you guys because I know you don't take notes like I do. So we started off the night with some Ruben Studdar, Sorry 2004.
I already got it.
Okay, well then you can 9:45. Okay. David Cook, come back to me. Fantasia, I believe. Philip Phillips, gone, gone, gone. Scotty McCreery, 5 more minutes.
20 years.
Jordan Sparks, no air. Chris Allen, live like we're dying. And then my karaoke go-to, Carrie Underwood, before he cheats.
How'd you get it on the first one?
Oh, God.
I told you Aaron would be great at this.
Oh, yeah.
I had no doubt. But if you think you know what it is, hit us up on Twitter. We'll reveal it at 9:45.
Ian, all those artists have something in common, and I'll leave it at that. And the first one she named Ruben Studdard, I was like, well, what is Ruben Studdard famous for? And the first thing that popped into my head, and then I remember the Carrie Underwood song, and I was like, yeah, okay, I got it.
Is that the TV show?
Yeah. Okay. I think you're on the right track. All we will reveal the answer coming up about 12 minutes from now.
And big deal, not a big deal. Here we go.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
Here's James Steele, our producer. He has questions. We will try to have answers.
That's me. So more than 10,000 college football players have already opted in for EA Sports College Football 25, which will launch in the summer. But fans will have to wait at least another year for Texas quarterback Arch Manning to lead their teams on the new video game. Manning, a sophomore backup for the Longhorns, and obviously the nephew of former NFL quarterbacks Peyton Eli, is among the players who have opted out of being included in the video game, a source confirmed to ESPN on Tuesday. Manning, who attempted only 5 passes in one game as Quinn Ewers' backup in 2023, wanted to wait until, quote, he was the guy at Texas, the source said. Hammer. Big deal, not a big deal. Arch Manning out of college football 25.
I think this is a big deal, at least in the sense that I'd be interested in taking Arch Manning out onto the field. If I'm playing the game, I want him in the game. And I think the way they've set this up with the players, Ian, is stupid. That they go to each guy and ask him for only $600, because there are definitely some players. Like, speaking of the starting quarterback at Texas, Quinn Ewers is worth a lot more than $600. The backup kicker at the University of Akron is worth a lot less than $600. So I think they need to scale the money based on how big the player is. And if they did that, maybe they'd have gotten Arch to do it. And I know he's donated a lot of the money to charity, but I wish he was in the game. And for that reason, I think it's a big deal.
Several things there that you mentioned, because it's not a big deal to me, because he does want to give Quinn Ewers all the respect that guy deserves. That's why he doesn't want to be having Texas fans subbing him in. And by the way, his level of play is not going to be where by graded on the game where Quinn Ewers is, because he is the backup. And he did donate over $1 million in NIL money to charities, mostly homeless charities, in Austin. And Quinn Ewers, by the way, he made $1 million at Ohio State and then never took a snap. So shut the hell up with the $600. You got $600 in a free game. I mean, I don't give a damn. You made over $1 million and never took a snap. And by the way, he's almost embarrassed by that. Quinn Ewers is an introvert. So big deal, not a big deal that Arch Manning said no. It's Quinn Ewers' team, not mine. I'm all about it, man. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, but it's a big deal that he's not in the game, though. This is one of the most anticipated games in the history of video games.
But his logic is his reasoning behind it. I respect the heck out of it. That's for it's not a big deal.
In and let us play as Arch Manning.
Selfish. The guy gave over $1 million to homeless charity.
I didn't say
so
that
selfish.
Was selfish. I said this is him not opting in so that we can play as Arch Manning.
And I'll add here, guys. It's not as easy to be Arch Manning as you think it is. Like,
everybody is
sort of assuming, hey, just because his last name is Manning, that he's going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of time. And look, I'd rather be nameless quarterback going into Texas with a great pedigree than have Manning on the back of my jersey and all of those expectations heaped on me.
Rachel's going to take the next one.
All right, I'm jumping in here because this is a big story. So last year, me and James may or may not have been distracted by a little NHL action on Disney Channel. And it's back this year. Big City Greens game take 2 is going to be this Saturday. It's the Penguins versus the Bruins at 3:00. It's kind of like if you guys remember the Toy Story game for football, for the NFL. They're doing this with like a Disney Channel animated TV series.
I'm in.
It's going to be on ESPN+, Disney Channel, Disney XD, and Disney Plus. Plus, you can watch the regular action on ABC and
ESPN Plus. Everything you just said, big deal. Absolutely, because it's catering to kids, that next generation. Absolutely, big deal.
It's brilliant because I think hockey right now has a little bit of a window, too, to try grow the fan base and to try to hit, especially in some markets where they don't have the NBA.
Tell my Blue Jackets that.
I know. Well, they could use a little bit of a bump. Ugh. They could use some better players, too. Maybe guys that could score a couple of goals every once in a while. But Big City Greens is also an underrated cartoon. And I like them taking this specific cartoon and applying it to the NHL. To me, it's a big deal.
Penguins meet the Blue Jackets.
I saw it.
5-3.
Well aware. Hey, Just by the way, let me tell you something.
An aside,
the Syracuse Crunch could beat the Blue Jackets right now. Go ahead.
I just wanted to point it out.
Are the Crunch still around? I don't even know if the Crunch is still around. ECHL.
I'm not sure either.
Okay.
But 5-3 Penguins win. Well, don't get them very much anymore.
Is that like some big deal that you beat the freaking Blue Jackets?
Well, the Penguins are they're bad now, so it's good to get a win every once in a while. Everyone knows who Terry Bradshaw is. He was coming to the end of his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1983.
Terry Bradshaw could be the Blue Jackets.
And he needed to undergo elbow surgery shortly after the 1982 season, but he wanted to go incognito. And to help with that, the four-time Super Bowl champion assumed a pseudonym, which was Tom Brady. It's Thomas Brady, to be completely accurate with it, but the big deal or not a big deal that apparently, you know, Terry Bradshaw had a premonition that, you know, some other quarterback would win a whole bunch of Super Bowls. I don't know.
Everybody sees stuff like this and they think that there's some higher power involved, some sports god that had a premonition that some player named Tom Brady 20, 25 years later would be the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't buy it. I think it's complete and utter coincidence.
Oh, my God.
I also think there's a difference between Thomas Brady and Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, thank you.
Also, of course, he picked a TB because he's Terry Bradshaw, so it has the same initials. This is a coincidence. It's not irony. There's no premonition. There's no forecasting involved here. I don't believe in crystal balls, and this is not a big deal. Ian?
It's a bigger deal that the dad from Duck Dynasty quit football when he was a starter at Louisiana Tech to give Terry Bradshaw the opportunity to become the starter at Louisiana Tech, which led to him being drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the rest is literally football history. The whole Tom Brady thing and in the alias in 1983, not a big deal. Bigger deal, dad from Duck Dynasty back in the day saying, I'm done with football, I'm going hunting. That's the bigger deal.
The Kelsey brothers were in.
Which, by the way, your beard is Duck Dynasty-esque.
Nah, don't do that. No, we're not a Duck Dynasty.
I'm with you. I'm not either. Here, so. And I'm from Louisiana, but that thing is majestic. You know that. I have beard envy. You know
I am a Zach Wilde guy, not a Duck Dynasty guy.
Who's Zach Wilde?
The guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne for like.
Oh yeah,
two decades.
I got it. Now I know who you're talking about. Playing guitar for Pantera right now. You know me. I know songs. I don't know artists. Yeah, I got it.
Did you just talk about Panera?
Pantera.
Oh, okay.
Dallas-based heavy metal band.
The Kelsey brothers were in Aaron's neck of the woods tonight. They were at the Cavs Celtics game. Sitting front row, and they got bobbleheads tonight. Aaron, big deal, not a big deal that the Kelseys get bobbleheads in the Cavs game.
This is a big deal to me, and I didn't love this. Look, the Browns, it's everyone's Cleveland dream, Ian, for the Browns to go to the Super Bowl. You know who's standing in the way of the Browns going to the Super Bowl? Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs, amongst other things, okay?
I was about to say, hang on a minute, it's not limited, but go ahead.
I know he's from Cleveland. There's plenty of time to honor Travis Kelce when his career's over. In Cleveland, we need a Kansas City Chiefs tight ends bobblehead. I was not a big fan
of
this.
Right?
It has both. And you can honor Jason now. Jason's retired, so he can come back and be part of the family. I don't know that it's the greatest. I'm trying to beat Travis Kelce, not suck up to Travis Kelce. I don't like it, and it's a big deal.
It is a big deal because there's big money involved, and that would be the Swifties. How many Swifties are going to buy the Travis Kelce if they don't even get one? If they can buy them, Yeah, there you go. Can you buy them or no?
Those things are going up on eBay. Oh, baby.
Thank you.
That's a
big
those
deal.
Those prices are going to go up.
Big,
I think I'm
going
to have to. I'm going to have to check
Swifties.
It out. I'm kind of an eBay like action figure kind of guy. Go look for them. I'm going to have to go see if I can find
it. Might be worth
Mikkelsey.
A little something. By the way, the Celtics have had blown like an 18-point second half lead. They're now up one with 36 seconds to go.
That's all I got today. Big deal, not a big deal. ESPN Radio. Amber and Ian. Thanks, guys.
Kansas Jayhawks ranked 14th in the country. First time out of the top 10 in a long time. They lead Kansas State. Oh, man, the Sunflowers. Let's go. 24-17, just under 9 to go in the first half. This bad boy might go to the wire. Closing ceremonies are on deck with Aaron Goldhammer. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons, and your phone calls are more than welcome. The big question on the table for 2.5 hours tonight, should Aaron Goldhammer fork over north of $4,000 to take his wife to an event that she wants to go to? Go home to Louisville first Saturday in May. The Kentucky Derby. We'll close out with your phone calls and the Tunes Tuesday theme reveal right here on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Built the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Tunes Tuesday music. On Amber and Ian.
Even I got this one after a moment. Aaron Goldhammer was in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. Hammer got it when Rachel Robinson, our associate producer, who's always on the ones and twos, does Tunes Tuesday. He guessed the theme the moment she mentioned the first artist. Now, before we get to Tunes Tuesday and your phone calls, what should Aaron Goldhammer do? Spend the money and take the bride to the Kentucky Derby. She's from Louisville, free place to stay, but it's going to cost north of four dimes. Let's be honest. Ticket, travel, babysitter, all that included. We'll get to more of your phone calls on that as closing ceremonies begin here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. But first, big update when it comes to the NBA Celtics-Cavs. Hammer, what do you got?
Well, Boston's 11-game win streak, Ian, is over as the Cavs win 105-104 in Cleveland, coming back from 18 down in the second half. The Cavs got a Dean Wade putback dunk with 19 seconds to go to win it. Now, a little controversy here at the end. 0.7 seconds, Jason Tatum shooting a fall away. They call a foul as he's putting up the shot, and it looks like Tatum's going to go to the line to shoot two free throws. Looking at the replay, there was no contact with Darius Garland challenging Tatum, and they overturned the call on the floor. Jump ball, center court, clock expires. Cavs with Evan Mobley going down with an ankle injury and out for the game in the third quarter, and no Donovan Mitchell in this game either, beat Boston after they beat the Warriors by 52 on Sunday by the final of 105-104.
You got to love the beauty of sports, right? I mean, it doesn't get much better. Quick update on college basketball, top 25 action. Games in action right now. Number 13, Auburn at Missouri. They lead 35-27. Number 25, Dayton at St. Louis. They're up 49-35 going to the end of the first half. Kansas State. You got to love some sports hate. And these two teams hate each other. Close game right now in Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse at the Fog, 24-22. Kansas on top of Kansas State. Remember, K-State beat them in the Little Apple, last month. So that one, it should be a dandy going to the wire. As far as games have gone final, number 16, Alabama loses tonight to Florida, 105-87. We had that in Bet to Your Hands Bleed. North Carolina pummeled Notre Dame, 84-51. And Purdue comes from behind, down six at the half, to win by six at number 12, Illinois, 77-71. Tunes Tuesday, Rachel Robinson, what do we got?
All right, I'm going to run through the songs again real fast. Aaron, don't spoil it. We know you know what it is. All right, the first one, Ruben Studdard, Sorry 2004. David Cook, Come Back to Me. Fantasia, I Believe. Philip Phillips, gone, gone, gone. Scotty McCreary, five more minutes. Jordan Sparks, no air. Chris Allen, live like we're dying. Carrie Underwood, before he cheats. And this one was for Ian, so I thought he might get it. Kelly Clarkson, since you've been
that
gone.
That got me. That's the one I finally got my redneck brain, you know, out of my butt, and I figured it out, American Idol. There you go.
Yep. All American Idol winners. I guess not all winners, right? Contestants?
No,
or were
no,
they all winners?
They were all winners, yes.
All winners. Okay.
I thought Underwood finished second and still got that big contract.
I think she won. Who's the most successful American Idol winner ever? Is it definitely Kelly Clarkson? Or is
Carrie? I think it's one and two. I think it's Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood.
Got to be. I would think, right? Yay, nay, going around the horn?
I mean, Kelly Clarkson's like a cultural icon now. She's got like her own brand of stuff. So I think I would lean towards
Wayfair,
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, that one.
Exactly.
She kind of mumbles through the middle part, and I get the, you know, what I need. Yeah, anyway. All right, back to our regular scheduled program. So, Hammer, you have a decision to make, and you're making it soon. We have had many phone calls. We've had Blake Corum weigh in. We had Jordan Ronan weigh in, you know, ESPN's NFL Nation. He says, hell no, you don't spend north of $4,000 to go to a sporting event, even though it is an iconic event like the Kentucky Derby. You go to Cabo for $4,000. You don't do a weekend for $4,000. Minimum $4,000, probably five. Where you're talking about your tickets are going to be, you're looking closer to five dimes than four dimes. So, Shane in South Dakota. Last bit of advice. What would you do if you were Aaron Goldhammer and his wife wants to go to the Derby first Saturday in May?
Lay it on me, Shane.
So, first off, thank you, man. I get you. You talk like my friends and I talk sports and life. I appreciate you, my friend. Mr. Goldhammer, do all the things. 2016, my bride, who to this day is too good for me, was diagnosed with breast cancer, double mastectomy, survivor. The following November, my then 10-year-old son was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer.
Oh.
He continues his battle to this day. Do all the things. Life is too short, man. You do all the things. I ask for everything, man. I got my boy backstage with the Avett brothers. We're friends with Kevin Owens from wrestling now, and we get tickets to all the shows,
that's
man.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. But Shane, you convinced me. Like, that's it.
That's
like,
it.
How can
God
we take
you,
that
man.
Call and have me not go to the – like, let's go.
That's it, dude. Shane.
Maybe I'll hit a trifecta. What do I work so hard for, Ian? You know what I mean? Today I did two shows. I did 7 hours on the air. I'm up late. I'm up early. What do I grind so hard for so that I have the opportunity to make magical memories with the people that I love? I will see you at Churchill Downs.
There we go.
The first Saturday in May.
Yes.
We did it. We convinced him.
Come on. Shane, by the way, I mean, you are, and your family, tough as nails, man. Your wife, God bless her, your son, he will prevail, and I'm with him. I told you this in hour number one when you brought this question up to me.
Yeah.
You don't get a do-over in this game of life.
Yep.
The wife is from Louisville. She wants
yep.
to go home, see the parents.
Yep.
You know, the kids get to see the grandparents. The grandparents are going to the races with you. And for people who have never been to the Derby, it's all day. Man. It's all weekend. You have the Kentucky Oaks on Friday, you know, which is the Phillies
cigars,
running.
And then bourbon.
You get all dressed
Lillies,
up.
Juleps,
pace yourself. It's a
hats,
marathon.
Don't go to
the infield. Stay away from the love tree. I mean, all that stuff, right? I mean, where humans are being made in there. I mean,
Shane,
come on.
Shane in South Dakota says do all the things. If that includes the love shrub, I guess it's the love shrub. I don't know.
No, stay away. If you're in a seersucker, trust me, stay away from the love shrub.
What a great life philosophy. I'm now putting that on a T-shirt. Do all the things, Shane in South Dakota.
That's it. I mean, it's again, you don't get a do-over.
Right, exactly. Can I afford it? No. Should I do it anyway? Of course.
Yes. I mean, come on. That's what credit cards are for.
That's what second mortgages are for.
Right. You know,
do we have a mortgage sponsor here on ESPN Radio? Someone sell a live read for Goldhammer. He's going to need it. He's going to the Derby.
I got one for you. Spendthrift Farms, where champions are bred. Right there, man. There you go. Done.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.